I hope you all got the memo that the sermon title was changed from cosmology to dealing with Black History Month. And do we really need it? And is it important? My feelings about Black History Month I re-examined upon the death of my mother-in-law. It made me see Black History differently from the way I had seen it before, and I'll get into that in a moment. Black History Month is controversial. Some people criticize it for saying, well, why should blacks have a month when we don't give the Irish even a week? We don't give Swedes a half a week. There are all the other minorities that we do not consecrate a week. Maybe it should just be part of American history. And others approaching it differently say, why should there be a Black History Month? That's only tokenism. As some wag said, Black History Month is the month when white people pretend to care about black history. That's a little cynical, but there's some truth to it. It's too much, it's too little. To me, it was something that was and is, and for the near future, it's important and it needs to be. It needs to be for white people to understand the role that black people have played in the development of this country, for white people to understand the gifts, because white people get as caught up as black people do in the negative images, in all of the thems out there, and not the accomplishments, and not the role that our original sin of slavery played on an ongoing day-to-day, year-to-year, decade-to-decade basis. As George Santayana said, those who forget their history are condemned to relive it. So it's important to know our history. It is also important to realize that something's missing from the Santayana quote, and that is, remembering your history is not an inoculation against repeating it, but it is an important piece of information that we have and understand the full context of American history and what that has meant. I think Black History Month was and has been important to give positive images to white people and to black people, to black youths in particular, who are caught up in the negative stereotypes that come from racism, in the negative stereotypes that come from the commercial interests that market violent rap and violent images, and negative stereotypes in the media. We could talk about Django, but I'm not prepared to see it and to wallow in that, and that may be a moral weakness on my part, because we are filled with all kinds of negative images that need to be fought with real and positive and nuanced information about the truths of America past and America present and where we can go in the future. But I had a dream. I had a dream that someday we would outgrow the need for a Black History Month. That someday black history could just become part of American history and tied in as it is, every thread woven into the history of our laws, our progress, our atrocities, our triumphs, and it would just be American history. And we wouldn't need to have separate histories for everyone. Let's have a gay history month. Let's have a Hispanic history month. Let's have a Jewish history month. We could just all become American someday. And then my mother-in-law died, and she was a Holocaust survivor. 4 months before her death, her best friend, and we always considered a relative because she had the consecutive number from Auschwitz, died. And as we sat around the table with our family, our extended family, remembering the importance of memory and the importance of history was personally driven home to us. That the idea of getting through, getting past, closing the door, having closure on the tough parts of our personal histories or of our national histories or our ethnic histories or our sexual histories, those doors don't stay closed. There really is no closure. And forgetting and denying and minimizing is an invitation to repetition. It's easy in the Jewish community to say never again, and there have been agains and agains and agains since the Shoah, the Holocaust. But there's an emphasis on trying to remember. My mother-in-law gave testimony to Spielberg's Shoah Foundation, and it struck me after we talked about how important that was, when we took some sense of comfort that Holocaust studies, or at least a unit on it, is required in California, and that it's required in all of Germany. I said, I can't have a dream that someday we won't have to consecrate some time to tell the stories and share the memories of other people and other peoples. That if I want the testimony to endure in one area, I must support the idea of it enduring in all areas so that all of our stories get told, so that we come to terms with our original sin. It isn't a question of wallowing in guilt. Guilt doesn't change anything. It's not a very useful kind of emotion. It is in wallowing in hope, in knowing how badly fairly decent human beings can go off the rails, in understanding that our moral vision as individuals at any given point in time can be extraordinarily narrow, and then to be able to know that we can also open our hearts and broaden our visions. We must know that people with extraordinary IQs, there's always that great line from JFK, who was entertaining a bunch of Nobel laureates in the White House, said this is the brightest group to be in this room since Jefferson dined alone, that IQ is not protection against narrow moral vision. That being bright and being educated is not the same as being good. I have a little argument with Socrates on this, but we need to be reminded of our ability to open up our eyes. We have to be reminded of how narrow our vision can be when we did not see, by we I mean as a nation, the humanity, the full humanity, in people of color, in, let's just say, black people right now, in people of color. We all know that the sick joke that every black friend of mine has talked about being stopped by the police for the crime of driving while black. And most of the Hispanic part of my family has also been hassled for driving while brown. And I suspect that there is not an Arab American who has not had some funny looks if not having been stopped for driving while darker brown. We look at all of these signs and believe that there is intrinsically important information in it, and it blocks us from seeing the full humanity in the other. As a nation, we certainly did this with Asians. We did it with Asians in the 19th century. We did it with Asians in the 20th century in California with Japanese. And our ability not to see the humanity in the other is extraordinary, as is our ability to make conscious decisions about seeing that humanity. Let me give you a concrete example right now. I'm sure all of you follow the news, and you know about the horrific death toll that's going on in Chicago through gun violence. About 80% of the victims are black. About 70% of the shootings are black on black. And the response of the nation is not much. It's political. Well, either Rahm Emanuel's doing a good job or not a good job or can ignore it because they're only people of color. When you compare this to wall-to-wall news at Sandy Hook, when white children and teachers were slaughtered, I think the wall-to-wall coverage was fine. I followed it. If your heart is not opened by the slaughter of the innocents in this society, there is a failure to connect the heart and the soul and the brain all together. Our coverage of Sandy Hook was appropriate, but our ability to say, oh, well, they're gangbangers. They're just in gangs. So their parents don't mourn. It's somehow their fault, or it's the guns, or it's... These are children. Their parents did not have them born in order to die on the streets. When you prick them, they bleed. When they die, they die. When they die, their families mourn. They are our children also. And our ability to push our hearts away from those numbers because, well, you know, it's a cultural thing. It's not a cultural thing. It's a socioeconomic thing. It's an educational thing. And we are as lacking in our education of seeing the humanity in that other as any generation. We have to, I believe, understand and connect with the humanity of people of all colors, of all races, of all socioeconomic levels, and not let those things be the determinant of the space in our hearts. It's hard. I know that. It's hard. Because we see all this violence portrayed, and we want to blame the perps, and I understand that, and we want to blame the victims. I understand that. But connect to the humanity of this. We have come a long way, but we have not reached a promised land. For those people who say, well, look, we have an African-American president. We had, arguably, for a decade, the greatest golfer was African-American. Inarguably, for two decades, the most popular talk show host was African-American. Well, the journey's ended. All's right with the world. Hallelujah, we're in the promised land. Not quite. Not quite. Not when we can distinguish between Sandy Hook and Chicago so easily. We shall overcome. Really, we shall overcome. When we sing this, it is aspirational because we have not overcome, but we shall overcome. We shall integrate. We shall intermarry. I hope we intermarry because I have a dog in that fight since I get paid to do the marriages. But we will, even if we don't intermarry, we will interbreed, we will adopt, we will do all kinds of ways that color will not be important someday, some happy day. But that some happy day will not give us permission to forget our past. Because there will be another group, whether it's ethnic or racial or religious, where we will find ways to put on the moral blinders and not see the full humanity in the other. The Unitarian minister, Theodore Parker, said that the arc, the moral arc of history is long, but it bends towards justice. This was picked up and shortened and made much better by Martin Luther King. And it does bend towards justice. I can see that time. But it doesn't bend by itself. It bends because people of goodwill are willing to help bend the arc of history, the moral arc of history. Because people of goodwill are willing to examine their R values and line them up with their R actions to make a difference, to open eyes and to open hearts. We shall overcome some happy day, but not passively, not letting it happen, but really looking at ourselves and our society and making commitments to do justice, to feel and see and respond to and respect the humanity in all of the various aspects of humanity, in all of the really false and transitory, transitional distinctions that we make that keep us apart from one another. We shall overcome. We shall overcome together someday if we work at it. Black History Month, it's important. It will be important because we need to tell our stories, sing our songs, and know how the threads of our various peoples and religions and ethnicities, how the threads of America's triumphs and tragedies, atrocities and repair have woven a rich tapestry of history that we should study and we should add our own stitches to as we weave a future together.